Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, The Devil's Board. During the school year of 1987 into 1988, shocking paranormal events took over a dorm in parts of an American college campus. These events would later be chronicled in the book The Devil's Board. Many of these events are blamed on an infatuation that one student had with what many thought of as a harmless board game, the Ouija board. Spirits were summoned almost daily, and one in particular would continue to stand out and let his name and story be known. The spirit claimed to have ended his life on the very same campus where the students were using the Devil's Board. What at first seemed like an innocent student reaching out for help from beyond the grave very quickly turned malevolent. The spirit seemed to nearly possess and manipulate this one girl to an extreme point, almost resulting in her death and the death of her friends. Today on The Grave Talks, we discuss these real accounts with L. Sidney Fisher.
As far as The Devil's Board, the book is concerned, I actually am a living witness to the events that transpired on this community college campus back in 1987. So I knew these characters that were in this story, and it's a story that I had thought about writing for a while. Just had several other projects going on at the time, but it finally came around, and I knew that this would be a really good story. And that's how it transpired. I just knew about these events that happened, and actually was in the same dorm with Josie and Rachel and Stephanie and Amber. Amber Simmons was probably the main character that got really, really into the Ouija board playing, and she was just totally fascinated with the board, and this spirit just kind of like took over, and she, as strange as it sounds, she developed a sort of friendship with a spirit and just could not leave him alone. So, you know, got into playing the board by herself, and this would go on at all hours of the day, at night.
So take us back, and I certainly want to get into that and some of the details of that story of her playing the board and developing that friendship, but take us back to the beginning of all this, where you started to get to know, you know, who these folks were, and before the board even came in, what was life like, what was going on, what was, you know, the knowledge of you know, what these things could do, or what the board could do, you know, what was going on at the time, what was the inspiration for all this beginning in these folks' lives, in your life too?
Well, in the very beginning, you know, they were all just a bunch of students that were going into their first year of college there at Riverside. All the names were changed in the story. The characters' names were changed. Some of the locations were changed out of, you know, privacy to the institution and that kind of thing. But, you know, we all were kind of, you know, when the story opens up, we were all kind of moving into the dorm, getting to know each other. It was an exciting time because even though some of the roommates and our suite mates, as we called them, because there was a bathroom that joined the two rooms there, two dorm rooms together. Some of us, you know, had already filled out these forms and things at the beginning of the school before the semester had started, to where we could be with our buddies, you know, from high school, the ones that were going on to a community college first. And but there was a few new people, you know, that would be moving into the dorm that we didn't know. And the reason I say that is because this particular college town also was a high school. The high school was there as well, and that's where I went. So it was kind of like just walking across the street to your to the college. You're almost on the same campus. Now, fast forward many years later, it's expanded a whole lot, and the high school that was in that vicinity of the college has moved. But at that time, it was all kind of like one big happy world there. When we all were kind of getting to know each other within the first few weeks of the semester, it just was one of these things. One particular girl in, was Josie and Amber, and they just kind of brought out this Ouija board and said that's kind of the way it was approached to Rachel when they were moving into the dorm together, and they were having conversation about what they like to do and for fun and that kind of thing. And she just kind of asked her, you know, have you ever played with the Ouija board or whatever? And she was like, well, no. And so, you know, they're all moving in their own things from home that, you know, were meaningful to them in some way. And this was kind of like, you know, it has a taboo element to it. And so it's got that element to it. And but Amber was also met Rachel and Josie later on. They were all in the school and things together. They had classes together, that kind of thing. Some of them were band members, so they were in also musical productions together in the theater. And so they all kind of knew each other. And but that's how that it kind of got introduced to the rest of the group. Mainly Rachel was the one that was totally against, you know, playing with it because she was a little bit scared of it. And she had grown up in a haunted house herself. So she already didn't want to have any doings with the spirits and that kind of thing because she had lived it for so long. But Amber was the one who brought this out, and the group of students ended up growing to, it started out just with a little bit of playing the board, you know, during the weekend or at night after classes and things, after dinner, when they had gotten to their dorm room and they would sit on the floor and that kind of thing. It grew though to a group of about 35 to 40 people. It got to be something to where, you know, she was telling folks, other students on campus, won't you join us tonight? We're going to play with the Ouija board, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, does that really happen? And is it really real? Those were the type of questions that she would get from other students. And she would tell them, why don't you just come on over and see for yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the way this got started. The only thing is that in the very beginning, there wasn't necessarily any particular spirit, or they didn't know the name of the spirit. The spirit had not given its, you know, its identity, had not assumed an identity. It would just be something to where it was moving, and they would ask it questions. And, you know, it was supposed to be all in fun, but a lot of people that participated in it, some of them would ask questions that has to do with love and relationships, is what everybody seems to want to know about. Questions that pertain to their life, like should they major in this or that. So, and there's some things, you know, that I'm telling you that actually weren't scenes that were set up in the story. I'm telling you from a day-to-day basis, and me being there and actually having seen this is kind of like the things that would go on. But the real trouble started when she would start playing this every single day, and so much so that she was able to make contact with the spirit who gave himself an identity. And I won't say his real name or the name that was identified in the in real life, but his spiritual name was Ryan Banks. He claimed that he had been murdered not murdered, that he had committed suicide. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. He had committed suicide on campus there when he was about 21 years old. He had done this in front of the dorm in like the courtyard area. And it's so strange because when I started doing research for this book, and, you know, I'm going back to this campus, you know, many years later, and I walk onto that campus, there's these rumors are still there. It's just fantastical, you know, that the story that it continues to be passed on year after year about the Ouija spirit who said he committed suicide there and claimed that he had played baseball there, was a baseball player, a student, and that he had just not had a very good experience, and a girl had broken his heart. And he came across to Amber during the conversations that they would have. You know, they gain your trust and all by, he assumed the posture of making her feel sorry for him. And, you know, she was the type of person that was kind of a loner anyway. You know, she didn't really have a wide circle of friends. She wasn't really, now she was one of the ones that wasn't really into theater or music or anything. She was just kind of there. She was just there taking some classes and that kind of thing. Not meaning that she necessarily didn't fit in, but she was a loner type. And so, in fact, her mom had recently left and gone to California, is what I told in the book. She actually had gone to London, England in real life. And so she was just kind of on her own. Amber Simmons was just kind of by herself. And I think that she felt that way sometimes. And that may even explain why that she was so enamored with this Ouija board spirit, because she, in the beginning, he started out very, very nice and kind of like her friends, you know, and they would start talking about things, and she would play the board by herself at night. She would actually sit down in the room when her roommates weren't there and sit Indian style on the floor and put the board on her lap, and she'd have a little candle, but she almost always was in the dark. Anytime that we would walk into the room, there she was sitting there with the lights out, and she's got the board and she's playing with it. And it was like whenever we would enter the room, it would break that contact, you know, and she would let out a big sigh and look up and say, "Y'all be quiet," you know. So, and she would start again playing with this Ouija board. Now, I would walk in and out. I personally did not like to hang around when that was going on. So I saw some of the events, though, that are in this book. I was present and witnessed those for myself. I also tell about the what's kind of happened, you know, what happened to the characters once they left, once this was over. But this went on for months.
What were some of the events that you witnessed that made you raise your eyebrows and go, "What is going on here?"
Yeah. The main one was whenever she was actually in her dorm room sitting in the floor, and there was a few of us that were standing around. I remember Stephanie was there. Josie was there. Rachel was in the other room, but she was sitting on the floor and she was playing with this Ouija board, and I walked in about that time, and I whispered to Stephanie, what's up? And she says, "He just told Amber the type of handgun that he used to kill himself." I said, "You have got to be kidding me." And the Ouija board spirit absolutely told. So Amber started at that point. And she just kind of, I remember looking at her, and she had this kind of like wicked grin on her face. And I'm going, that is so freaking scary. Because I don't know whether at that moment she didn't believe it, or that it was just because she herself was thinking this is so outlandish or what, but she took her hands. I remember seeing her. She moved her hands away from the planchette for just a minute, and she looked around at everybody, and we were all, our faces were like, no way, no way. And then I was like, okay, I think it's time for me to go. I am not hanging around. Because she just immediately, she looked up, she's going, oh my gosh, you know, and she puts her hands back on it, and she's going, and tell me again when that happened.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.